Rock Under Fire is filmed live in front of a studio audience. What's up, Mikey D?
What's happening? We have a very unique situation this time.
Yeah.
Because our cast of characters fell through like three different times today. First, we had Stick. Well, Stick didn't make it.
Right.
And then we got Tracy, and Tracy bailed on us.
Yeah.
But Tracy always
for lack
comes
of a
through.
Better word.
Tracy always comes through. Well, she used the word bail.
So she did, huh?
Sorry. Yeah, so she used the word bail, so it's all right.
And then wouldn't you know, I opened the door to check the mail, and look who's standing
look
outside.
The mailman left.
We're the third fucking choice.
I know.
Two packages. One is from Cincinnati,
one's
Ohio.
We're the third fucking choice.
We got this package from Cincinnati, Ohio. I think it was, I don't know what episode it was. It was somewhere around Christmas time. And we just went on that whole rant about Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
And like what
nothing good comes
stars,
out of Cincinnati.
What rock stars?
Nothing good comes
out of Cincinnati.
I've come from Cincinnati, and I did this whole rap about Cincinnati chili, fucking Soylent Brown.
That he never ate
their
before.
Fucking
it's Soylent
terrible.
Green.
It's
claim to fame.
He's never ate it
and
before.
And they
though.
Talk about it like it's this big
once.
Point of pride for the city. Man.
Are you here to debunk the fact that nothing good comes from Cincinnati?
And it was almost like
I'm not, but I will.
It was almost like it was like a package sent from the Unabomber, man. And she arrived in the mailbox like the Unabomber from Cincinnati.
Opened the box and it just
and I
blew
even
up.
Your present
boom. You brought
Cincinnati
me.
Chili.
You brought me to Cincinnati chili. On
oh,
a magnet,
how'd that go?
On a magnet.
When did you eat
he
it?
He can make it himself.
So.
He can make
oh,
you
okay.
He can make you something. Okay. He has the recipe. It's not good.
I believe that. I got authentic jambalaya from New Orleans.
See,
like
we're
mix.
Italian, so we're.
I see.
We're,
it.
Yeah,
I
we know.
I got a little Guinea in me too, but
so
I still like
I.
jambalaya
I
and chili.
I have a lot of Guinea in me, but.
Yeah, but
hey-o.
Spaghetti.
It's gonna be one of those shows,
spaghetti
huh?
Spaghetti and chili
I'm
and
so
chocolate
so
and whatever else. Yeah.
Introduce our guests
mine
officially,
does not have
Mike.
Chocolate and
please.
Cinnamon.
Yeah, we have Nicole and Darlene. I call you Buddha Thai.
That's fine.
And
welcome, ladies.
I understand your brother invented the name Buddha Thai. Was he the first person to call you Buddha Thai?
He called me Buddha Tits, I think.
Buddha Tits?
Buddha Thai.
All right. Yeah. So we're not really going to say last names. We don't really,
okay.
You know, we don't want to out you two, you know, just in case you're on the run, if the FBI is searching for you, and
right.
if they're looking for you, or if you have
it's been known
sort of,
that the FBI listens
you know,
to Rock Under Fire
religiously. If you're hanging
out
with somebody that you shouldn't be.
Hanging out with people you shouldn't be.
Well, they're doing that now.
Some saloon in Cincinnati, Ohio, where the doors squeak when you open them.
You know what? I'm taking
tumble
it on
okay, all my
streets.
Cincinnati friends that I told you to listen to this, don't. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, I don't know that we have an audience.
You're going to have to put her back
Cincinnati.
In that box and ship her back to Cincy. We have an audience, and we love each and every one of you out there. How's it? I want to say one thing, Mike. The newcomers out there, we want to welcome everybody to this podcast. We've got a lot of newcomers lately, California especially, the West Coast, and it's awesome, brilliant, love you guys. Who would have thought that a KISS post would have brought so many new listeners to our show? We're glad about it. You know, we're all three of us are big KISS fans, so keep listening.
So we decided to commemorate the 40th anniversary of KISS Love Gun. And there's a lot of KISS fans out there.
Yeah,
man.
Man.
A lot of KISS fans. Yeah.
So that post reached over 4,000 people.
We really have no set agenda for tonight as far as like our topic. Is we're supposed to just talk about 1977. We have nothing. I have nothing on my plate here.
I have a few things, newsworthy, but I mean, who cares? Let's just go with it.
Exactly.
You know? It's been a while since we've done a show where we just took a whole bottle of Fuckatol and just said, well, let's see what comes out.
That's right.
I got to say one other thing. Today is July 10th as we're recording this show. It is the 7th anniversary of my dad dying, and I want to thank Mike DiRico personally for something he said on my Facebook page. It was really cool, and I appreciate it. Yeah, that's you. That is you. Yeah. I did appreciate it. You know, about my dad, he had never met my dad, Mike, and, he said something along the lines of, what he did for me musically and how I probably wouldn't have enough to offer to this show. if it weren't for my father. I mean, my mother as well. I've spoken in length about her as well. But, you know, my dad, Allman Brothers in particular.
Yeah, I didn't say that quite that way. But yeah. You have a lot to offer to the show. But basically, you know, going back to episode one where you talked about your dad. And, I mean, both of us, the music that our parents were listening to. And I think all of us sitting here, look, our first exposure to any type of music was probably our parents. And, you know, Pat, I mean, it was the first thing out of his mouth, like going back to the music that his dad exposed him to. And, I mean, without that, I mean, I never met his dad, but without his input and his just the contributing factors of your musical identification, I mean, your whole identification, man, this podcast would not be possible. And we would not have clicked.
True.
The way we did.
Absolutely.
Man.
And that's what he said, basically. He's a wordsmith. I'm not. I think everybody has grasped that concept by now. I have one more what's going on, too, by the way.
I don't know about that.
I have a new band that a friend of mine, Dominic, turned me on to. It spiked in his YouTube page for some reason. They're called Thermate, and the record is called Black Desert Highway. Mm-hmm. Fucking download this. It's ridiculously good. There's only 6 songs. It's a total of like 31 minutes. It's fucking ridiculously good. And it goes back to how we're always saying what's old is new, because it sounds like something like fucking Black Sabbath, or it's set from the 70s. These cats are just good. And I mean, you just want to get in your car and just drive to this, mate. Thermate, yeah. It's good shit, that. Man. Black Desert Highway. I'll play it for you guys off air when we're done, but it's really good. My friend Dominic, who listens to the show, I used to work with him, listens to the show all the time. He just texted me out of the blue. He's like, dude, you got to check this out. And sure as shit, man, I downloaded it that day. It's that good. So, Thermate.
Where are they from? Do you know anything like as far as...
I know nothing about them right now.
They have from Cincinnati.
Are they? Yeah, I bet they are.
I would die if they were.
They walked barefoot to Cincinnati from Chicago.
Oh, man.
It would be too much if they were, though.
So, I don't know, man. I kind of stole a little bit of the whole opening there with the what's going ons, but I just wanted to thank you again for saying what you said.
I don't have much of a what's going on. Just to
the youths.
We do our little what's going on segment.
I mean, my mother was big, still big rock. I mean, big. We owned a record store.
Nicole, was she in the movies?
Oh, yeah, my mom's in Zeppelin movie. She's in the first row. Remains the same.
So we got to get back to your mother is in the front row. Yes. Was it at the Garden? That was at the Garden, right? The song remains the same?
My mom and dad were very big in rock and roll.
Sweet.
They owned a record store on Main Street in Woodbridge.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
It was called The Magic Mushroom.
Wow.
Really?
Very sweet.
Oh, yeah.
I know she's in the movie, though, right? They kind of flashed the people in the audience.
The guy, and the next thing you know, they were up front.
Nice.
My dad was big on.
Got to rewatch that movie now. Let's look for your parents or your mom.
Have you ever done that? Have they ever watched The Song Remains the Same and looked for themselves?
Now, my mom is very big on rock and roll. Mm-hmm. That's all she cares about.
She still listens to it daily?
Mm-hmm. She's a big Pink Floyd.
Nice.
She's going to be 70. She's going to
be 70, and she's a big Pink Floyd.
Do you know what her favorite album is by Pink Floyd?
Well, I'm going to say it would be The Dark Side of the Moon.
Okay. Again, back in that early 70s.
I know Animals definitely.
Yeah, now you're talking.
It came out in 77.
That's my favorite record.
Wow.
77. Yeah. Big Pink Floyd fan. That's pretty wild.
I mean, when they came back years ago, I can say. Maybe.
86, I think that was the one.
Yes,
the first one,
I
right?
actually slept in New York City for tickets for that.
I slept at Piscataway Mall for tickets for that
Did
show.
You? I slept right on the
Remember
steps?
Those days of sleeping out for tickets? Wasn't that great? You brought all kinds of food and beer and shit, and people just hung out, and it was awesome.
Now you gotta, I don't even think anyone can get a ticket anymore when they first go on it. I think it was great that you got to sleep outside and got your tickets.
One of our listeners, I was reading their Facebook page, their thread, that they wanted to get tickets for her daughter to see. I can't think of the dude's name. He was in that band One Direction. My daughter would know him. I can't think of the kid's name.
Zane?
But,
Zane?
No, not Zane. No. He's the one who's got a solo record out.
Nobody knows.
And it was almost I don't think the four of us would know it. But it was impossible for her to get tickets for her daughter to see this guy, because it's just, with the internet now, they just sell out so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I knew somebody who worked at a place in Rahway, Soundarama. And I can remember Darlene has a Kiss shirt on, and this, I wanted to bring up this story. It reminded me of this story. He knew like how the armbands were going to be placed out, and I'm sure you probably might know this too. So like, if number 6 was going to be the first one, they walked up to that person, like, right, then it went 6, 7, 8, 9. So he knew the number was going to be, he ended up getting in trouble for it. He knew the number was going to be like 10. So I was like third place in line. And I was like, yes. And I got like some, I scored excellent tickets to see Kiss that tour. Might have been the fucking Tears Are Falling record.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been that record. But I mean, I was right in front of Paul, right, on that part that came out. And I got his pick and shit like that. It was, ooh, he was like right there. It was pretty wicked.
My favorite, Paul.
That's your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Who, Paul?
My husband's a big
Paul.
Fan of Kiss. But big
then
fan.
They got smart with the wristbands because they never used to do that. And at some point in the mid-80s, they were like, okay, you have to stand online for a wristband, and the wristband doesn't even guarantee you a ticket.
Nope.
But it's just to get everybody the
in
fuck
the line.
Out
yeah.
of there.
And scalpers
the
still
line.
Found
how
a way
many
to
times did you do that?
Quite a few.
Me
hell
too.
Yeah.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that I
Ticketron before then. Remember going downstairs in Bamberger's?
Yeah.
Or like A&S?
Oh, my God, I do. I remember that.
A&S.
Yeah, but now the beauty of it is you can buy tickets to a show on your fucking phone while you're walking down the street. Oh, they go on sale at 10 o'clock? Bippity boop bop bing, and I'm into the fucking show.
Yeah, back then you waited on a line, man. You physically waited on a line. And it's like, I mean, they still do that now for Star Wars, right?
Oh, yeah. I was in line. We went to see it at the Philadelphia... the Franklin Institute in Philly, in the dome, they had it in true 70 millimeter. So it like took up the whole dome of the roof and everything. Me and my daughter went. It was killer. But the line was fucking through the whole museum. It was pretty neat.
And speaking of 77, it was around this time 40 years ago this week that Star Wars was the biggest thing on the planet.
It was, man. I can remember being in line with my uncle.
Seen it in Menlo Park Theater.
I seen it in the drive-in.
On the upper top.
Wow.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Being
yeah.
in line at the
really?
At with my
one,
uncle the like
one theater with it was like back when movie theaters had two
a
screens,
balcony,
you know, and
Cinemuck
like
on the floor.
Forever, it just said this. It says Star Wars, and then underneath it said The Deep. So there was this movie called The Deep playing with Star Wars, and forever both movies never changed. It just said Star Wars and The Deep for like
Star Wars probably
straight.
Had a run there. Yeah, yeah. I could imagine what the run
oh,
was.
Oh God,
there.
It was a long time it played there.
Yeah,
I can't even.
It was forever because I remember going like it was like a couple months. It took me a long time to see Star Wars because everybody had seen it and it was like, oh, did you see Star Wars? And it was like, you know, how many times can you see Star Wars? You get it was like bragging rights.
Yeah.
And then the bubblegum cards came out and I still hadn't seen it. So it was probably like it was probably went back to school.
How are we friends?
Probably like went back to school when I by the time I saw Star Wars. It was probably like the fall. By the time
1994
we
finally seen
Star Wars. It came out in the spring.
And then Christmas time, you couldn't
Blockbuster
even get a toy.
Had it.
It's like his prom date. Blockbuster. Yeah.
People were fighting in Toys R Us over like the toys.
The toys. Oh, my God. Hell yeah.
My aunt would go and be like, I had to get the toy.
Yeah, I remember getting pissed off. I beat the crap out of my brother, my little brother, because
he
broke my R2-D2. Like, he broke the leg off my R2-D2 figure.
He didn't see the movie, but he had the toy.
How weird is that?
No, I saw the movie before I had the toy. Fuck you. Fuck you, man. I'm just saying, like, I didn't see it till like, maybe... it was probably out for 2 or 3 months before I finally saw it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. That's
so, fuck funny. You all.
Owning a record store. So, what year did they get rid of the record store?
God, I'm going to say in, like, this... maybe like 74, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because we moved out.
You were small then?
I was small. I was a little kid. Three, running
four.
Around Main Street and Warbridge. Yeah. Ooh, God, this thing's attacking me.
Yeah, you got to watch that. She's being attacked by her microphone.
So we used to love it there,
That's because you're straddling two tables.
I am straddling.
I think Warbridge was ready for that back
are.
Then.
Yep.
They were selling like...
I can handle two, Mike. It's okay.
You know, right. They thought they were still in Woodstock back then. You know,
right.
back then, and I don't think it was too legal back then to be selling.
Yeah,
they shut them down.
Oh, they got shut down?
I think they got shut down after a while.
Wow. Selling mushrooms out of the magic mushroom.
Possibly. You never know. Back then,
I just talked about. I went to see the Dead and Company a couple of weeks ago in Camden, and seeing the drugs that were just rampant just was mind-blowing. I was like, oh my God, there are a lot of high people here right now.
And they still can get that.
Yeah, and you could tell who was stoned, who was tripping, who was on shrooms. It was just this whole, who was drunk. I mean, it was just crazy. All this, it was like if you looked like an EQ, there were like levels of highness, you know what I mean? It was really wild. How about you? Did you own a record store, Darlene?
I did not own a record store.
What was your?
I've been in a record store, but I haven't owned one.
What was your first taste of, or you know, going back to the parents being the influence on our musical lives?
You know, my mom loves Michael Jackson. She loved Michael Jackson. I remember having the Grease album. You know, that probably wasn't 77. And she loved Ozzy Osbourne, my mom. My dad listened to, like, 50s. He actually played guitar in a band.
No kidding.
In a band,
Ozzy
yeah.
Ozzy was my first concert.
Judas Priest was mine. Judas Priest.
We're not going to announce who my first concert was.
Yeah, mine was, you know. Yeah.
Why? How
mine
old
wasn't
you?
Judas
How old
Judas
was I?
Yeah.
Was
my how old are you now?
47.
Oh, you're my age.
We're all the same age.
Okay, we're all the same. She's
a little older.
She's a little. She's a cock hair older. Yeah. A cock hair older.
My mom drove me all the way to the Meadowlands and dropped me off. I was about 14.
To see Ozzy.
To see Ozzy. And
with
actually,
Motley Crue opening.
I think I seen Ozzy with.
I saw Ozzy with Metallica.
Randy Rhoads before he died.
Wow, Randy Rhoads
earlier.
Holy Christ! Nice. That had to be like Motley Crue's first tour.
I want to say it was. Yeah, I want to say that. I want to say she dropped me and my sister off. We were very young. I mean, who drops their kids off?
That has to be early. How much older?
My parents used to drop me off at the.
That had to be really early.
Either a year older than us.
Well, Randy died in 82, so.
That would make you 13.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. It's there.
I was very young.
Yeah, it's there. I mean, it was
there. I was very young when I went to the concert. My mother actually
I got to look and see if Crew opened up for with Randy playing. I got to look that up.
Crew opened up, like, it was Bark at the Moon and Shout at the Devil.
Well, then that wasn't.
So that was 84. That was early.
Yeah, but what about, like, Livewire or something
Tracy
like that?
Me Savant, I know, I have this very.
I know, really. Bark at the Moon already?
What about Too Fast for Love, which would be the earlier Crew record, which would put it in line with that tour?
Very possible,
but if Randy had died, you could have seen Brad Gillis for, like, the Speak of the Devil tour.
Yeah.
If, I mean, because it's right in that neighborhood. It's
and that was at the Palladium, I think.
No, I went.
This Meadowlands. Was definitely the Meadowlands. Yeah. My mom dropped me off.
I don't know if they were playing the Meadowlands.
Do you remember if Crew opened? Do you remember who the opening act was?
Mm. She said Crew, right?
I want to think it was.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't.
I just don't think Ozzy and Randy played the Meadowlands. I think that was too big of a venue for them.
I don't know. I
could see them playing like the Palladium or Capitol or something like that. I will look that up and get you back.
Randy Rhoads over Lisa's bed, just like. There.
Epic picture.
My own personal memory is like my first actual like memory of an Ozzy concert was like 80 was Bark at the Moon and he had Jake E. Lee and Shout at the Devil was big and they opened up and it was like eighth grade. We were in eighth grade.
Speak of the Devil was like right before it was just after Randy
God,
died.
One of my favorites.
And it was all Sabbath songs though. That would be the giveaway. He did all Black Sabbath songs for the entire tour. They made a record out of that.
Yeah.
But that was like immediately.
Good times.
Definitely.
Our guests, by the way, I don't think I said that. Our two guests are, we all go back to like kindergarten together.
Not me.
Something like that.
Well, we went to different kindergartens together.
Yeah. So we talk about 77. I said to Nicole before, do you have any memory of, like, can you distinguish between 77 and 78 and 79? She was like, fuck no. But I was like, all right, second grade. So we were like Saturday Night Fever, right? 1977. Okay. Do you remember the music teacher?
Yeah, Mr. Valores.
No. I'm talking about Miss Trites.
Oh, of course.
Do you remember Miss Trites?
I was talking about my violin teacher, I think, at this
point. Kind of sounds familiar. Usually you tell me something about them and then I'll remember that.
You have to sing like.
She made you sing like Don Gato and Don't Count Your Chickens Before They Hatch.
Don Gato.
The Erie Canal.
Do you know I looked that song up?
Chicken.
Do you know I looked that song up just to sing it again? Because no one believed me.
I sent it to you once. I sent it like a private message like 6 years ago.
And I think we talked about this.
Yeah, we did.
It was just like the ongoing joke. Like I was like, don't you remember that song?
And then she was like, send it to Nicole. So I sent it to you.
Did I really?
Yeah,
I remember that.
This was years ago. No, this
we
was like
talked about
ago.
It again. I tell the kids,
I don't
when
even
you
remember
have
that.
Music class, what do you listen to?
But it was like basically like we. This music teacher made us sing these stupid songs.
Wholesome.
We opened up a book.
You know, Jesus loves the little
so
people.
Bad. You know, like, really like racist Southern like cotton needs picking.
It
man.
Was
you know,
horrible.
Like, we're sitting there like singing these like racial songs.
I almost feel like I remember
of, like,
seeing
the
little the thing.
Old South man, and we're sitting there like
the
and they're teaching these songs.
Hey now, boys and girls, today we're going to sing.
They
the national anthem by Colonel Sanders.
They would always let us bring in our own records.
You say
sometimes.
Cincinnati, Kentucky's bad.
And it got to the point where like. All the girls were bringing in like Saturday Night Fever, and they'd be like dancing in the back of the classroom. Do you remember that? It was like all like Andy Gibb and
Saturday
Night Fever.
Loved me some Andy Gibb.
Yeah, But that's the thing, like 77.
I've seen him before. Okay.
You saw Andy Gibb?
I saw Andy Gibb.
Did you really?
I seen him at
That's not gayer than me seeing Hall & Oates, so you win.
Great Adventure used to have concerts.
Yeah, they still do.
And I seen him there. And then right after that, that's when I think he died.
Okay. I said, yeah, that was in the '80s.
He was the one from that was the younger brother from Solid Gold,
yes.
Right?
He was the Gibb brother that wasn't a B or a G.
He was an A
by himself.
Didn't he die?
He did.
Yeah. He overdosed or something. He like overdosed.
I'm not laughing that he died.
I think there's only one left.
I think he did OD.
Yeah, he did.
He's married
to
Pam.
Or suicide.
Pam.
Pam,
whatever. From work. Or Pam Dalman. Or Mindy or whatever.
Pam Dalman.
Yeah, Pam.
She dated
Mindy.
Yes, they were married.
Oh really?
Because that girl was murdered on her set too. That girl was murdered on that show, and then
fucking conspiracy. Let's throw 77 right out the window, and let's just do a fucking forensic file show.
77's not working out.
Yeah, it is.
Why? We have Fleetwood Mac.
We got Fleetwood Mac rumors.
Fleetwood Mac.
Nice.
Like Dreams was big on the charts. I was like looking at the pop charts, like the Billboard charts of 77. Here's what I want to do. I want to turn this whole myth on its head about 77 being synonymous with disco and punk and the year that this broke and the year that that broke. It often gets labeled as the definitive year of the 70s. And I don't know about that. I think there was a lot more disco in 76, a lot more disco in 79. Like if you check the charts out, like the songs that were big all those years, 77 was a lot of bland, like middle of the road.
What do you call it? Dropped from their label. Sex Pistols were dropped from their label that year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was EMR or something. And The Clash had their day. So you had like two opposite. And The Clash had their first record.
Yeah.
So there's like this major shift in punk at that point,
right.
too.
And you had a lot of like MOR and album, just a lot of what they called corporate rock, like Boston,
Eagles,
and Kansas, and Fleetwood Mac. And a lot of that was huge in 77. But I mean, this whole idea that it's like synonymous with disco. I mean, Studio 54 did open somewhere in the middle of the year, but it wasn't really a thing. It wasn't like this massive thing until like 78. Because I think what happened with Saturday Night Fever, it's released at the tail end of 77, right? We're talking like, you know, I guess, what was the Bee Gees song?
How deep is your love? Yeah.
Right.
That starts climbing the charts at the end of the year because you had that annoying You Light Up My Life, Debbie Boone. It was on the chart. It was like number one for like 15 weeks straight.
See, there was still safe bullshit. There was still safe bullshit like that.
Yeah, and that's
flooding the airwaves.
No, it was like number one for like 15 weeks straight. And okay, so like the Bee Gees take over at the end of the year. Saturday Night Fever comes out in December. So by the time it totally cracked open mainstream America, it was like the beginning. It was like already 78.
I think, especially in Studio 54's case, it was there.
Yeah,
it was thriving. I think it just got exposed by Saturday Night Fever. It was exposed at that point.
Kind of interesting
because there was
mainstream.
A whole fucking thing going on there that nobody knew about.
Right.
And then
right.
that movie comes out, and it's like, oh, wait a second, what the fuck's going on in New York right now?
Yeah,
and that kind of like steamrolled
it was almost
it out.
Like after the fact, because Saturday Night Fever, like it's written, it's based on this New Yorker magazine article from like 1975. So this whole scene in Brooklyn had already been going on underground,
right?
You know, and then by the time it reaches the suburbs and, you know, like
kids like us,
like 7-year-olds are playing it in a suburban elementary school. It was like already 3 years later
when it's popular.
Yeah. And it was just it was almost like synonymous. Like it was almost like, you know, underground, like the gay clubs in like the late 60s, early 70s. It was just basically like gay men. If you were gay or black. You know, and all of a sudden it reaches mainstream white America by 1978. It becomes kind of like bastardized in the sense that now rock musicians are doing it. The Stones were doing it. The Stones made their version of a disco song. You know, Miss You comes out in 78.
Kiss did it.
Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Heart. All these, like The Who, all these rock bands, Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall, it all had that four on the floor disco beat, right? So they're all making this disco influenced music.
Well, you could take that record. You could take a record like, especially Another Brick in a Wall, and I know this from when I was a DJ. But yeah, I mean, you had one record playing, and all you had to get was the beats per minute, man, and you could just float that other one right in and out of that song the whole night. Yeah. And just what it was about was just nonstop music. There was no breaks,
right?
You know, it was just people out there dancing, usually high as hell on cocaine because it was the popular thing then. And you were, mm-hmm. they were just constantly moving. They just didn't want it to stop, and it never, you know, it never ended. Especially in the city, you're looking at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning for a club letting out, if that, you know. And then it's going down to the diner or going to somebody else's house and doing more blow and just fucking maybe sleeping 3 hours and going out and
doing
it all over
all kinds of stuff back then. I think I also think there was a lot of uppers going on. It was like a mix. It was
big. Big.
I mean, my mother went through that era too. I mean, they went all through that era.
Mm-hmm. The whole 54 thing.
The whole thing. So, yeah. You know, they were into the clubs, yeah. dancing with the fake wigs on. And
I got the picture of your mom with the leopard and the
outfits mean, and shit.
The outfits. They wore the outfits.
That was the other thing. It was a trend. You know, how we are, we're always talking about the different trends and how, you know, I mean, the and that's exactly what it was. It was just a different form of music. But then, you know, you had, like you said, some of our heroes involved in it. But you also had people falling out of, like, that club music scene that you realize, wow, these guys are great producers. These guys are great musicians, you know, like Chic, Rogers. Like Nile, exactly. You know, and he went out to make some fucking fantastic rock albums.
Some of the best produced albums of the 70s.
Ever. Yeah, you know, you could put them in top 10 produced albums of all time. That's how good this cat was. It's, or is, I should say. He's still around. So, I mean, you had that falling out from it, too. And, you know, is it that different than metal and rock, metal and rap mixing? Is it really? I mean, it's just two forms of music from completely ends of the spectrum, opposite ends of the spectrum that just meld together. I don't think it's as good, rap and metal. There's some of it that's okay. I think some of the disco stuff that had a rocker rock edge to it was a lot better.
I think so.
I think there was more of an it was a more natural flow to it that was whereas rock and rap seems more forced.
Okay,
you know, it's kind of like, you know, like the recent, like your chocolate's in my peanut butter. No, your fucking peanut butter's in my chocolate.
I can agree with that because I think it's soulful
and it's just doesn't. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm in a minority, but I don't know. It's just two sounds that I don't think should
mix.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
But it works. It works for a lot of people. It's huge.
They're selling out. They're not selling out arenas, but they're selling out tours with like three or four bands, like bands.
Yeah. I mean, the Beastie Boys that, you know, run DMC when they hooked up with Aerosmith and that whole thing in the mid-80s. I mean, it's never really died.
See, I think the Beastie Boys, though, got away from it. Their first record was that. Mm. License to Ill was definitely that. Right. But then they went a fucking completely different direction. Yeah. And they were all musicians in their own right. Good musicians at that. But they just took it to a whole different level, man. And they started experimenting with different things. And it wasn't your stereotypical fucking Limp Bizkit. And
I didn't like that as much as their first album.
Yeah. What's the Beastie Boys stuff? Yeah. Really?
So different.
I like their first
back then than it is now. Come on, let's face it.
Yeah.
I mean,
what, rap?
Oh God,
it's he's just, the rap guy here. So I don't. I kind of.
It's definitely way different. I mean, we know the rap songs. We would sing them. Because they were like...
I still sing them. New ones. Oh, they're still good. They're still good rap out. Absolutely. You just don't listen to it. You got to seek it out.
No, I do. My kids are okay. into it. And, you know.
But is it true hip-hop or is it just...
I don't know.
Fucking chameleonaire fucking talking to you see me rolling. I mean, that's like horseshit.
Some of it I like and some of it I don't.
Okay. And that's fair. I mean, there's... Right now, like I said this before, last year, Tribe Called Quest put a new record out that was... fucking mind-boggling. It was probably record of the year in my opinion, but it's definitely there. And I mean, you know, you see Jay-Z floating around. Dr. Dre is a phenomenal producer, so I'll listen to whatever he's putting out. I guess
Macklemore is good. I like Macklemore.
Macklemore, huh?
I do. I really do. He's on my Pandora.
I like my white rappers to be named Eminem.
I like Eminem, but I like Macklemore though. I do.
That's
I
like the extent
more,
of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I like him.
Walking around in his cheap suits that he got from the fucking...
thrift store?
The thrift store.
Yeah.
He's wearing his grandma style. Did you own a pair of clogs?
Oh
yes, God. Of course. Yes.
I got hit with a clog and it hurt bad.
That was Mama busted like my years. Ass up. The early, like those years in the 70s, like 77, 78, if I have to think of those years, it's like I think of Saturday Night Fever. I think Bell of bottoms. How miserable second grade was. And I remember girls, all the girls had this thing about kicking. They all wore these like big brown lethal boots. And if you look at the class
boots.
Pictures,
heels,
I don't know
man.
What they are, but they were like
we had fry
lethal,
boots,
man.
We had extra soles.
And well, extra soles didn't hurt like.
Yo, you know, those clogs were fucking solid, dude. They, I got and hit all, with that thing. So it fucking hurt.
Kicked.
It bruised me. My mother threw that
thank
shit.
God I
remember
I
like getting
you.
A couple
thank
shot,
God.
A couple blows to my shin, man.
Eddie Murphy was spot on when he said how his mother threw that shit like a boomerang, and I went. My mother could throw that clog from across the room and fuck me up.
They were candies back then. We all wore candies.
Mm-hmm. I have to. I have a picture of like one class picture.
Candies.
I don't know who
they were called candies.
The sneakers or the clogs?
The clogs. Yeah. Shoes. They were candies.
I know nothing about shoes from the 70s.
Who's wearing them in the fucking picture? It wasn't you. I don't think you're in the picture. She's wearing. I know she's wearing them in the picture.
You might have got kicked.
She used to fucking beat the crap out of me with everything. Like,
I think maybe she just had a crush on you.
Maybe she had a crush. When you're a kid, when you're that young, you don't think too much about things when they're happening, and then you look back and you're like,
you could have been real popular back then.
I was. I just didn't know it.
He was just very shy.
He's more popular. He's more popular now. We like
but
the way
you know
Mikey
what it
turned
is,
out.
Is, no, because she used to stab me with her fucking pen. Like
she definitely dug you.
I think she wanted you to stab her.
Hit with your pen.
And no, but she's wearing these boots. I'm like, what were these fucking things called? And like, everybody had them. I was like, I remember those boots. And I was like going through the pictures. And I was like, I got to find out if I ever have a chance to ask somebody who wore them back then what they were called.
Were they cowboy boots?
I know clogs were, they looked like they were big. They were fry boots.
They were fry. I had them.
Fry, okay.
And we used to get them at Tom McCann.
Okay.
They were Tom McCann boots. Yeah. And they were like cowboy boots, but they were like high up.
Yeah.
And they were expensive.
And it
they
sucked.
Were light
and
beige
it really
or
sucked.
Or light
to get
brown.
Yes, and I had to like babysit for weeks just to get a pair.
Babysitting. That shit was a career.
I
back
mean, even
then.
To get a, like a moccasin boot, like anything moccasins. I think I even wore moccasins back then in the 70s. Definitely.
That was just a real traumatizing time, man. You know, it was we had Miss Aarons. You know, she would dump your desks. She would turn your desk over
if
you had a messy
clean.
Desk, man. You know, it was just like this routine thing. You know, and she's dumping the desk over.
I've had my
you
desk
sit there and
my
rub
brother.
Your hands underneath your desk, and you know people would stick gum there. You know,
yeah.
I'd pick my nose and put the fucking snots under the desk. You know, there was just kind of you know. And she caught me once, and then she made a big thing about it. And you are wiping boogers under your desk, weren't you? You know, so it was like this big thing, and turning the desk over. And next thing you know, I'm on my knees picking up all the shit off the floor.
Kimmy looks excited. Mike,
I
turn your
hate
knees.
That.
That's 1977 for me. I'm on my knees a lot.
We had a teacher, Mr. D'Amico, who would fucking put you under his desk and like kick you. I mean, teachers got away with a lot of shit in the 70s.
Oh, they did.
He would fucking kick you. He would literally sit there and kick you, man.
Let me tell you about when I went to
pull my hair.
We had a woodshop teacher that used to throw blocks of wood at you.
Yeah, he was mean.
Now, when I went to Our Redeemer, which was a Lutheran school.
Our Redeemer.
It's right across from OLP.
Are you a wholesome girl, are you?
No.
Very. So anyway.
With Vanessa.
Vanessa. Vanessa went there, too. I think Vanessa went to
the wholesome twins.
We went to Sunday school together.
Oh, Lord,
if that tells
mercy.
You anything. But I'm saying we went to Our Redeemer, and we had a male teacher, Mr. Pfeiffer, and we actually spent the night at his house. The girls spent one night. This was in grade school. I'm thinking I would never let my fucking kids do this shit.
Never
let my kids do this. And I remember we took like baths. So we picked a partner. Me and this girl Kelly. No. I keep thinking, did anything weird happen? I don't think it did. But he could have been filming us. I don't know.
This episode is going to be called 77, not 77.
They got away with a lot of stuff.
Huh?
Yeah, the 70s.
I know it's
so
weird. It was like. And then the boys spent like a different. So we took baths, but we got to pick out what color we wanted the water. But he was like not in the bathroom.
I think
so. I don't know if he was like
that,
filming.
I don't know. That's like
it was
a little
so
weird.
Fucking
I,
weird.
I didn't
weird
guarantee
shit,
you.
Man.
Something
I don't
fucking
remember
weird.
Us
going to any slumber party.
So I might. There might be actually some pictures. There might be.
No, man.
This episode's a mess. A fucking mess.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
6 years.
This is 77, not 77. That's the name of this episode.
Yeah. So since you're talking about 77, let's talk about Billy Joel a little bit.
All right, Billy Joel.
Love just, Billy Joel.
I saw him.
Okay, let me tell you a little story about Billy Joel.
Please do.
I wanted to see him so bad, I never got to see him. So for like 4 years in a row, my husband like put his picture in a card every year, and I, you know, never got the ticket
ever. Put Billy Joel's picture in a card?
Yeah, like I was getting a ticket. You know, like, hey, like, Billy, hey, saying hello. This is your gift, but never get it.
A picture of Billy Joel.
Yeah, like we were going to the concert, but we never did. You know, like the gift that you never get. So he would print out Billy Joel's picture.
I want to have sex tonight, huh? Here's a picture.
He actually put it in the card.
Yeah,
you know,
a picture of my dick.
And this is your gift. Here's this is your gift. We're going to see Billy Joel. I got the tickets. So he'd even give me a date. And then never would we go see Billy Joel. So this year, again, Billy Joel's in my card. I'm like, are you kidding me with this Billy Joel crap? Because, I mean, like, is this a joke? So the day comes, we get in the, we're going to see Billy Joel. I'm so excited because I'm going to see Billy Joel. I love Billy Joel.
Let me guess, you can't.
And you're actually going.
No, we get on the train and all of a sudden the train stops.
Oh boy.
And for 5 hours we sit on the goddamn train.
Wow.
$500 tickets. Sit on the train. We never get to see Billy Joel. We get there and we get one song out of Billy Joel and it's over.
Wow. Fucking New Jersey Transit reimburse you for that?
Nothing.
Motherfuckers.
$500. Everybody on that train never got to see Billy Joel. That
wow,
was coming from me.
That is
should have been a big. I mean,
up.
Is there anything like?
I mean, a $500 ticket.
Mine were $600.
I mean,
mine were $600.
What was
six.
I mean,
so
did they
I
say
know what
the
talking
issue
about.
Was.
Yeah, it was a train. This is
a
how
derailment
this all
or some
started
fucking bullshit
with the trains right now. The trains are still having problems.
Holy!
But this all
Christ
started. It derailed. Someone was stuck, and then they were only letting certain people in.
I'd
and
be fucking livid.
I got
livid.
Stuck on.
I
got
said,
stuck on
don't
a
ever
Jersey
bring up
Transit
Billy
once
Joel again in your entire life. Like he's like, oh, we'll go get. I said, I don't want to hear about Billy Joel.
I saw him in November. We were supposed to go September, and he canceled because he had throat
right,
a throat operation. It was set up perfectly because I was off. I was off the next day, and we were going to hang out and have a good time and, you know, get hammered up a little bit. He moves it to like a fucking weekday, and I'm like, ah, you got to be fucking kidding me. I had to work the next morning, so I had to kind of be mellow. He was fantastic, though. He was really, really good. It was worth it.
I got to see one song.
It was
so
worth the money.
I would have loved to have seen something.
Doesn't he play in Atlantic City all the time?
No, he
no
plays
the
in
garden
the
Garden every year. Every month. Once a month, he's at the Garden.
And we had gotten the tickets for Christmas.
And occasionally, he'll do like Florida shows because I think he has a house in Florida. So you'll see him play like Florida on New Year's Eve. And I think he's done some Pittsburgh shows and stuff like that.
I want to say he did something to the new stadium or something he did.
City Field? Or
no.
Giant Stadium?
No, I want to say in Long Island. Where is
oh,
he
yeah, Nassau.
There?
He is from Long
right
Island. Yeah, he did do something at
so
Nassau. He closed. I think he closed the old Nassau Coliseum down.
Did.
I think
recently
that's what it was.
Do you know I'm not the biggest Billy Joel live fan, though? A lot of people I don't like live. Is that weird? Am I weird?
Did you see him?
I did not see him live, but I hear
he
him a lot of times.
Live.
I do,
I think
too.
He live.
Sounds awesome.
I think he sounds good live. I'm just saying he's one of those that changes, like...
I want to see him before the
year
ends.
You know what I
ends
mean? I don't know. Like, you're singing, you think you know the words, you do know the words, and then it's like fucking changed. He fucking changes it.
People
what
say
the
that
fuck
about,
you doing? I mean, what the fuck?
People say that about the Counting Crows, because he goes off script a lot.
That's what I mean. So he's one of those people. I mean,
I
think I
like
he sounds good.
I don't,
I don't like that.
Record.
See, I don't like
that.
I don't like that.
I love going to see a nice rock band compared to the music today, because you go and they're lip syncing. And I don't like
and
that.
I will have to say, though.
Totally true. I took my daughter to a few concerts, and one of them was Panic at the Disco, and that kid is fucking amazing. I was blown away by how good he was. He's jumping around like a fucking fairy on pixie dust and singing and fucking prancing. I'm like, oh my God.
I went and
sure
seen him.
Yeah, no, he was
okay
singing. He
yeah
was
I like
absolutely
when they sing
singing.
I don't
you can
like
hear when somebody's singing and they're right winded and they're, you know, he was singing.
I want to hear someone sing. I don't want to see someone like mouthing something and yeah it's not, I don't like that.
Don't forget your point. What was it?
No, thanks for saying that, because I had to go see with my friend Sarah. Made me go see 30 Seconds to Mars. Not my favorite fucking bands. Not
like
my
Jared
favorite
Leto
fucking band
guy, right?
Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Fucking packed. You could not, literally not even turn. Me and her are both 5'12". We're way in the back. Can't even go up to see him. I'm like, oh, I'm so fucking pissed. Stood outside for 2 hours in the cold. But let me tell you something. Not my type of music, but he did sing. And he was, I mean, he had kids up on there singing to them, like taking selfies with them. I mean, he was amazing. Put on a really good show. Not my type of music, but I do think that he
now
was,
I know.
It was
you're
a good show.
You're the one who told me to keep listening to Chevelle.
Chevelle, right? Yes. Yeah. I love Chevelle. Absolutely love him. But also, Britney Spears, I went and seen her a couple years ago. Love Britney Spears. I do. And do you know, everyone always said that she lip synced.
No,
I think she did lip sync a lot.
Probably.
So this time she wasn't, because everybody made such a big deal about it. She was not lip syncing, and they made a point that she was not lip syncing. And she didn't lip sync. She was singing. And I prefer her to lip sync.
You finally got to see the Stones last year, though,
I finally
right?
got to see them. Oh, my God.
Good. I'm glad you did.
One of the best days of my life ever.
Cool.
I thought I was going to pass out. But anyway, Britney Spears, though, let me just say, though, I preferred her. She was
she was better lip syncing.
Well, yo, Blake, get ready to fall down. And
Britney Spears did not sound bad, but I think she's better lip syncing. She danced more. She put more of a show on. Not lip syncing. She was concentrating
you
so much on
go
singing.
See that? You can watch that on television.
I want to see. When I go there, I want to see her dancing with half naked guys. And
I don't want to see any
you
of that.
Watch it on
I
television.
I want to see someone rock
no,
out.
No, I do. I do. I would
see
rather see that.
Perform.
Me too.
I want to see her perform. I want a show from her. That's what I want to go see with Britney Spears. Now, other people I want to hear, you know. But, yeah.
I'll tell you, one of the best concerts I ever seen was like a Bob Seger concert.
Really?
I love Bob Seger.
He's still playing.
He's awesome. I've seen him 3 times, and I love him.
Now, the Stones I went and seen at Ohio Stadium.
Bob Seger tune the other night. We were sitting around, and like it was like there was a Bob Seger song. We're like, finally, a rock song.
It started getting a little rock song. I mean,
we find a different fucking place to go to.
No, it was just, it was a Bob Seger song. We were all just like, yeah, finally.
I don't know what they were playing. Actually, there was a, I mean,
it was a couple goes towards the end, but I mean, it was like crickets, fucking crickets.
Tina Turner, and I thought she was awesome.
Yeah.
Was it the midget lady, Yoko? Was she did,
no, she wasn't there.
Yoko hasn't been there.
No, Yoko goes to
you know Yoko?
Yes,
I seen her. The last
Yoko,
time I went.
Yoko, I have pictures of her, and I could show you. She actually goes
Tina.
To that
she
new
one. Places.
Ivory Stone she goes to.
And
because they have a Saturday night and they pay you.
And there's a place in Roselle where I found her, too.
Also, there's a place that people
What the fuck are you doing in Roselle?
Brunswick on a Friday party. Night.
Yeah, I bet she was.
It's a big karaoke bar in
where?
New Brunswick on a Friday night. I hear it's really good.
What about Monday nights?
I don't know anything about a Monday night karaoke.
We need some Monday. That's what we should do.
Fucking tooled with.
Oh, man. So what else can we talk about 77? The Son of Sam.
Oh, yeah.
What was your memory of that? Do you have any memory?
Oh, my
any,
God.
Direct?
I'll tell you. Direct memory, absolutely.
Yeah.
My uncle knows one of the victims, or knew one of the victims.
Wow.
And really? I grew up in the Catskills in New York. And it was freaky because the rumor was that's where I lived, like in the Borscht Belt, they call it.
Right.
So it was freaky because they were saying that's where he might be headed, into the Catskills, into Sullivan County. And it was scary. I was actually physically scared as a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, this guy is the .44 caliber killer, we called him. No, Son of Sam. Now,
yeah,
as an adult, you know, then he was the .44 caliber killer. That's how you knew him.
Yeah.
And every night on the news, it was who his next victim was. And so, but my uncle knew one of the women that were murdered.
I was scared. I mean, I was scared back then.
I just remember hearing the names. I just, like, Son of Sam. And I hearing it on the radio, on TV all the time, but not knowing who or what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then finally later. And during that whole summer, Eric, it was me and Eric, and we were hanging out, and he wanted to scare Stacy, because Stacy would come over and want to hang out with us. I guess we were 7, she was like 5. And so Eric had this old radio, this old, like, 1950s wooden radio with a ugly speaker built in and all that stuff, the 2 knobs. And he took he unscrewed the back of the radio, and he took a tape recorder, and he recorded a fake newscast, like a fake news broadcast. The Son of Sam has just been, like...
That's not funny.
It was after, obviously it was after the
right.
They caught him, okay? So they must have caught him, and Eric was like, the Son of Sam has escaped. And he was last seen at Ford's Junior High. At the time, they were calling Ford's Middle School Ford's Junior High.
Yeah.
He was preying on 5-year-old girls at Ford's Junior High. And he recorded this whole
That's
thing.
Awful.
And he
That's
puts
awful.
The tape recorder in the back of the radio. And he's like walking around. We're like walking. So we're crossing the street. And Stacy's sitting on our stairs. And like and he's playing it. And Stacy would never remember this. Because she didn't notice it at the time. And Stacy's like talking. And she's doing whatever.
And the thing plays, and we're like, I wish she would shut up already, so we can hear our radio show. And it, like, the thing plays. Son of Sam is at Ford's Junior High waiting for five-year-old girls. And she missed the whole thing. So he's there, and he's like rewinding the tape. And he's like trying to get the fucking thing to play again. And he played it like four times. And it was just crazy. Oh my God.
Five-year-olds are like, I got no time for you, dude.
What are you doing? He's like, nothing. He's like, fuck it. And we walk away.
Her attention span.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
that's so
she'll
funny.
Never remember it because even at the time, like
she
Eric,
didn't
I mean,
even know
Eric,
it was above her head.
Yeah, she had no idea what we were doing.
Poor so, Stacy, you're torturing the kids.
Yeah, the blackouts that summer in New York City too, man.
The blackout.
That was a
Elvis,
crazy time in
Elvis
New York City.
Elvis dies in August.
Oh.
Yankees
like
in the World Series.
5 weeks later,
I cried over that.
What,
over
Elvis?
Oh,
yeah, I did God. Too. I did a seance, and we thought he was back in my room.
I clapped.
I remember being in the back
not
seat.
Not me. I love Elvis.
I did, too.
And it came on the radio, and my mom was driving, and she was just like, oh, you know, she was like whole, totally like, oh, my God. And I really had no idea who he was. I really didn't know who he was.
I mean,
I
didn't
kind of had a sense of that he was somebody important.
Well, my mom was a big fan.
I was only
fan.
Seven, so, yeah.
My mother was not.
She was a big fan. She broke her arm jumping off a couch. Thought she was playing guitar.
Two deaths that meant more in my household were 3 years later were John Lennon, and 2 years after that were John Belushi. Believe it or not, those two deaths meant more in my household than Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
No, I did. I even brought him back.
Do you remember the blackouts? Do you remember like anything
about
man. Like did it really affect us though? Like did our power go out?
I wasn't here in Jersey then. I was in the Catskills. I was upstate.
Oh, so you were in New York.
Yeah. I was upstate though.
Let
didn't
me
have
ask
really...
you something about oh, boy. Right. So you were in the Catskills that year. Do you remember the Buffalo Blizzard?
Yeah. Fuck
do
yeah.
Do you have any memory of that? Did you guys
I'll
get
tell
hit?
You want to know why I remember it?
I want to know what you know
my
about
mother
this.
Going to college with me and my brother in tow in that fucking blizzard. She's hitchhiking with us two.
Wow.
Hitchhiking. And her friend, pretty much my aunt, who I've known since I was a fucking wee Wayne, Anna, with her son Jason, who's pretty much my cousin, hitchhiking in front of us.
With you the son of Sam out on the...
No, this is the blizzard time. This is December.
Oh.
Or whatever month it was. You would know the month more than I would. But you can't...
January.
You couldn't even see. In, I mean, it was just...
Yeah.
Literally, I've never seen so much snow in all my life.
Yeah.
Ever. And to this day, I've never seen that much snow.
Did you guys get a ride?
Oh, yeah. We always got rides.
People died in that thing. Like, it was basically like... Long story short.
It's fucking insane that you mentioned that.
No, because it was like basically that's how 77 starts off. Because you have at the tail end of 76, all these like crazy below zero temperatures happening in New York State. And Lake Erie freezes. Okay, so they had all this like crazy snow in December. Lake Erie freezes over and you have like a bunch of snow sitting on top of Lake Erie. And then one day, I guess it was January, it was the end of January. 75 mile an hour winds start blowing the snow towards Buffalo. So you have these crazy windy conditions on top of a blizzard where the blizzard only dumped 12 inches.
Yeah, we were further south. No, but blizzard conditions.
But they got up to like 12 feet. Yeah. Like people were walking on their cars. Like cars, entire cars were buried. Somebody I was talking to was like, you know, I came out of the house and everything was just like so high. And I remember hitting something under my feet. And I was like, what the hell is that? And my friend was like, that's a car, you know, but people were stranded on the thruway. Like you had no way.
Well, the thruway closed down.
Home.
The thruway
they
shuts
shut
down.
It
New
down.
York doesn't fuck around.
They shut it down.
They shut the fucking thruway
down. So if you were stuck on a thruway, you were stuck in your car the whole time, man. Like your car
and
was eventually going to run out of gas with this blizzard piling up, burying your car outside. There was nowhere to go. So people died. People froze to death. You know, some people who actually made it through, you know, they were cutting up their vinyl seats and pulling the foam out and sticking it inside their clothes for insulation. But like 28 people died or some shit like that.
You know, it's crazy. This is the reason why they always tell you to have like some sort of a kit, especially in you know, cold weather.
Yeah.
Because of situations like that. The thruway literally just shut. And you're from Cincinnati. I'm sure you'd get weather out
Ohio
there.
Ohio
well,
got
right?
the blizzard first. Yeah. Like this whole storm started. Like Ohio got pounded like 2 weeks before.
I see pictures of in Cincinnati where they were walking on the.
I can remember Ohio being in
River.
Buffalo.
Yeah, I think they were
this
walking
was 70,
on it.
This was the
yeah.
beginning of 77.
I mean, I don't know what year it was.
I no, remember being in Buffalo in 09, I guess it was, or 08. 08 or 09. I was there for work. And I'm out in the oil industry, so I'm out by in a tank farm. And me and the other supervisor are kind of messing around, and we're doing some things out there. And it starts flurrying. And what we're waiting for is they put nitrogen into the pipelines that we run.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for that nitrogen to come by, and we're going to watch the nitrogen bleed off. You have to bleed it off because if it goes into a tank, it comes in as like a bubble, and it'll burst, and you can do damage. So good we're luck. Waiting for this nasty. Nitrogen, and it starts flurrying. 20 minutes later, there's a half a foot of snow on the ground. I'm like, I look at the guy, Dave. I go, Dave, get me the fuck out of Buffalo. As we're driving down the thruway, it's just everywhere. I could yeah, not believe the amounts of snow and how quick it fell in Buffalo.
We had a tornado.
Two rights. All right. Right and all right.
I had a tornado in Cincinnati right. years, and I didn't know what was going on. Speaking of that, we lived in an apartment and didn't have the news on. Mm-hmm. On the top floor. No, but we couldn't get to our apartment for a couple days. Like, it was, you know, they closed the streets and all that, but a lot of people did. It was awful. Like, I had never been in something like that. I was freaking the fuck out.
We were in Texas this year, and we had that, we heard that warning, and Riley freaked out because she had never heard it. And
yeah.
they had it. You hear it in the streets, and then they're saying, yeah. there's like a loudspeaker system, and they're talking about fucking tornado warnings. Yeah. And I have pictures of, like, the sky before, because we were just leaving
yeah.
dinner. And before it was
scary.
The freakiest fucking thing I ever saw. Man.
I know.
It
was
really
it
cool.
Was, yeah, I was at the Renaissance Fair too when we were getting ready to have one. So we left in time, but the winds, you almost like were, it was like almost blowing you over.
Yeah.
Going to your car. It was ridiculous.
Go ahead. So back in the 70s when we were kids, in school, they would ask the parents, do you want to be a helping hand? And they used to take
this.
A picture. And if you want to be a helping hand and you were in trouble, if you seen that hand in somebody's window, you can knock on their door and they would help you.
I totally remember that.
So it was a blizzard and I was trapped and I was at Woodward Center with my sister and it started blizzarding and we couldn't see 2 feet in front of us. And my mom had told us she wasn't going to pick us up because we had to walk home. But we had walked home through the clay pits.
Right.
And we came to like the new condos back there in Old Fords at the time. And we thought we were going to die. Because it was horrid. We couldn't see. We were freezing. We didn't have big jackets on.
Yeah.
And back then when it snowed, it snowed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can remember crying. And I can remember us getting to a spot where that hand was.
Mm-hmm.
And we had knocked on the door and they let us in. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and they gave us hot chocolate and they called my mom. And my mom actually came to get us.
Mm-hmm.
And we got in a lot of trouble. But do you remember like in the 70s, like,
you know, when you said that, and I was like, I paused our tape, and then when she started talking about this thing that I totally forgot about, but when she said it a light just went on. I was like, holy shit, I remember.
I mean,
the helping hand.
She knew something before you did?
Yeah, it was called the
helping
hand.
Yeah, there was something, like, I actually forget things once in a while.
It was a hand in the window, and they asked the parents, whoever would help. I mean, it's odd today, because I don't think anybody would want to knock on anyone's door. Like, I mean, I would think it would be a little weird. No, right?
Holy crap, Nicole.
I knocked on a helping hand door, and they let me in. And they saved my life.
Wow.
They really did. I mean,
were you by yourself, or you with
someone? I was with my sister.
Wow.
And we were crying, and they let us in. They gave us hot chocolate. We were freezing, and we kept saying, thank you. Can we use your phone? And it was horrid.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
I wonder if we had that, because we had that bus that broke down on the turnpike. I remember my dad was so fucking pissed because my mom, one of them must have just knocked on the door for help. And my mom let the whole busload of people in our house while they waited for somebody. And my dad was so fucking pissed.
Home,
had a whole busload of people in our house.
In their window.
Damn.
I do remember that.
Was it silver? Department that had like a big, just like a red sticker with the fire department on it. I remember
letting
those.
You know there's a kid in a room, right? Or something.
This was a hand.
I don't remember what they were for.
Yeah, now
I remember the
hand.
Hands now, but I remember there was
like
a big
red sticker.
It was
called the helping hands, and they would put it in the window.
Department.
Yeah, I think it's like you put it in the window.
I have a helping hand every night.
I don't think today anybody would knock on.
So do I, buddy. So do I.
I think a bunch of weirdos would have the helping hand, and you would knock, like a little kid would knock on the door, and they would kidnap them. I mean, we could walk around in the 70s.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's funny because this conversation came up with me with somebody. we you can walk around now too. Right. It's just there's so much more exposure now that we hear about every little child that's missing, every little thing that's happening in the world because of the internet. Back then, we didn't have those resources. You saw your local news at 11, and that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. But now you have it every turn of the page. You can see what's going on in anywhere all over the world. I mean,
that was all happening.
People abducting children and shit was going on for decades. It's just a big for centuries, I should say. Yeah. It's just those bigger cases, like the what was the kid from the city, Eaton Pates? Eaton Pates or the
Adam?
Guy, Adam, well, Adam was one of them too. But Eaton Pates, I think he was a Jewish kid, was on his way to school, and he was abducted. I think that guy just actually confessed to it within the last few years.
The name rings a bell.
He was on a milk carton. I mean, you know, it's just the exposure was different. So, I mean, we were running around with lurkers just as much as there are today.
I think that we walked around a lot more. I mean, I walked literally 5.5 miles every single day.
Everywhere.
To Casby and back.
Uphill in the snow, barefoot.
Video games and everybody have a cell phone. And
we had
Atari 2600.
We had
to go to a payphone if we wanted to qualify.
I used to ride my fucking bike from Rahway to US 1 Flea Market on a bicycle on fucking Route 1. I don't know how I got it. Didn't get clipped or fucking killed or mugged or thrown off the fucking bridge in East Brunswick. I don't.
We did things that were just insane.
Then I got caught shoplifting from A&P on Ford Avenue.
I ran out of there like a motherfucker. Over the bridge.
Oh yeah. From that walk. That was the walk of shame for me. Walking over the bridge.
That was a scary bridge.
Back then, we just walked.
I used to have to walk to middle school. Well, I didn't have to, but I wanted to. I guess we used to cut through the.
I never walked.
Me and Maureen, we hopped over that fence. Yeah, we weren't supposed to be there.
It was fun.
The cut through.
Yeah.
New York, we got bussed. Too. It was just so far. The schools were so far away. We got bussed.
We jumped a lot of fences.
Our thing was like, Fords was like, your section of Fords and my section of Fords was like, there was the middle school in the middle. Okay. And it was like, my street was like the cut through. So in order to get to my section of Fords, you went through this. It was just called, known as the cut through. On the other side of the middle school was the barricades.
Right.
So you had that. The barricades was where the other side of Ford Avenue.
Where it started to go to old Fords.
Right. So if like you were on
we were
your section of Ford Avenue, you went to the barricades. We went through the cut through, right? Is that kind of safe to say?
Well, we used to just cut through somebody's yard.
My brother lost all his teeth on that cut through.
With the dog. What and happened? Then we went to the
My
park.
My brother lost all his teeth over there.
Really?
He was riding a dirt bike.
Oh,
and
shit.
Smashed on that cut through right there.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. But anyway, I had my own phone. And I remember when I picked it up to talk, I could hear this guy talking kind of, and he can hear me. So he said, give me your number. I'm going to call you, and we'll figure out what's wrong with our phones. I'm like, okay. So I gave him my number. Here I'm like 7th grade maybe, 8th grade.
Oblivious.
And so he's talking to me, asked me what my hair color was, my eye color, where I went to school. I told him everything.
Holy
shit. Well, he said he was like my age or whatever. He loved the Rolling Stones, too. I remember that. Well, so anyway, I'm like, okay. So then he said he was going to – then he started getting real creepy. He told me he's going to be – he knows where I go to school. He was, you know. So I told my mom. I think I told my mom about
it. Candy.
So
did he have some candy for you?
And I never did see him because she started driving me. Thank God I told her, though. I could have been kidnapped.
Oh my God!
I murdered. I know.
You were very bright.
Good times.
Well, you probably did that
good
too.
Good old fucking 70s.
I thought it was probably.
I don't think I would.
If he sounded cute and a boy was on the phone and he'd say he liked the Rolling Stones,
I was playing with Barbie.
Stones.
And then when we're ready to wrap up, I'm just gonna
because she's got a headache.
Right, so we're gonna wrap this up.
I'll buy her some time.
This thing has been paused a few times.
Drink. Yeah, drinks. Where are we drinking?
I'm going home.
So we're going to wrap this up.
For those of you still listening,
77,
not 77. The 70s were traumatic to us four at this table. But
we would rather not go there again.
But
good times.
We did
good
listen times. To some good music.
There was music.
You know, I've always mentioned, you and I had a discussion off air.
There was music, a mass murderer and a blizzard.
Yeah. But Mike and I had a discussion off air once quite some time before we even started doing the podcast. He asked me once about my favorite song of all time. And it wasn't 77, but it was the 70s. And it was The Boys Are Back in Town. Because of the little town in New York where I lived, this biker group would come through in the spring. And the fucking leader of this group, I don't even know if they were the warlocks or pagans. I don't know who they were. But he'd come through on this fucking chopper, man. It was the Green Dragon. It was this big, badass fucking bike. And it was the coolest thing in the world. So the music out of the 70s will always stand the test of time with me. With us, I think.
I think
Fleetwood
so.
Mac and the Eagles. And, you know, I can remember listening to the Eagles and the Brothers and these fucking huge headphones that my father had. It looked like I was going to fucking call into outer space with them.
That's the funny part of the 70s is the stuff we had to do, the boom boxes and the
I'll tell you what though, our generation our people our age and the more people I talk to, they're all like sentimental for the 80s. It's all like, I wish I could go back to the 80s. They're all about the 80s. I know you are.
I would go to the 80s only because of high school, because I would change
my
trajectory. My trajectory would change there.
My heart's with the 70s, I think.
My heart is with the 70s, yeah. But I could change. I don't regret a single thing I've ever done in my life, and I never will.
Yeah.
I am who I am from it.
Right.
But I would change one thing, you know, still do the things I've done,
right.
But I would change one little thing in my life that would alter my future and made it would have made it a little easier for me to succeed and wouldn't have taken as long.
Yeah.
And that would have been one thing. That was it.
Right.
I would have too. Yeah.
Not the 70s. I don't think I would have changed.
No.
70s. I fucking love the 70s, man. The 70s were killer. I'm glad I grew up in the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to have grown up in the 60s. It would have been really wild and gnarly to see, like,
the
fucking
hippie. I mean, look, when you go back to the 70s, it's really about the music.
I would love to be in the 50s.
I mean, when it comes down to it.
Well, we got to see, I mean, we got to see technology, really. I mean, you remember when you were a kid, they were always saying, oh, you're going to be able to pay for your groceries with a card. And I mean, we saw that come to fruition, you know what
they
I mean?
We talked about it. Like,
yeah, we saw
I remember
that.
The first
We're not flying in cars.
The first microwave?
Yeah, that fucking microwave was the size of a fish
it was
tank.
The size of his table.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Thing.
That's another thing. Apple formed in 77. Okay. So, I mean, you know, Apple computers, people think Apple, they think 80s. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were fucking in the garage making fucking history. In the 70s.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the cell phones were, well, I guess when they first came
the
out.
The 80s
were
big and bulky, yeah.
Yeah. Car phones. I'm out.
CDs,
I'll call you when I'm home.
8-tracks.
No, I'm home now. I'll call you when I'm out.
And the phones were so big, they were like huge. Everything was just different. It was teen lines in the 70s. Teen lines.
Which I had taken away from me.
An ABC after school specials with Scott Baio about smoking pot and Helen Hunt jumping out the window.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches watching reruns of the Flintstones
movie.
And the Munsters and I Dream of Jeannie and Get Smart.
I don't even think the kids know any of that.
No.
My daughter does.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is a... My daughter, Mike's met my daughter
not long ago.
My daughter is going to be a hip kid, man.
And my daughter goes, "What?
My younger daughter?
Are you
like
singing?"
That.
And I said, because I think we were watching a movie and they talked about Gilligan's Island, and the girl goes, "Wasn't that a book?" And I looked. And
Gulliver's
I said,
Travels?
No, wasn't a book. It was an actual show.
Little buddy.
And then we started singing the song. I mean, they just don't know.
No, I try and bring her up on the pop culture a lot. I mean, I'm really, you know, that's my gaming buddy. And, you know, we talk about old stuff. I show her all the things I'm into. And
now, you do know that kids today are going to say the same exact thing 40 years from now. Mm. And every generation kind of thinks of their own as the valid, legit generation. Like, was our music and was our technology and the way we grew up, was that really like the optimum pinnacle of civilization, or are we just like getting old and just like getting cranky like our grandparents did?
When I was young, I had to listen to.
No,
I don't think that at all.
I wonder it sometimes. I'm like really like, were the 70s any more special than the 40s for like with the, you know, somebody that was like 10 years old in 1942 or
I
something.
I had blisters on my feet.
I walked uphill in 5 feet of snow barefoot.
And I walked to school with my tough skins on. And
tough skins, man. And zips. Remember zips?
Fucking zips.
Stride Right.
My mom was never
Buster
the old
Brown
person.
Shoes.
Tough skins.
I don't think your mom is. My mom was never the old person Never, even as a grandma. She
my
wasn't.
Mother is 67, and has survived cancer, and still fucking listens to Guns N' Roses religiously. I'm trying to win
good,
her tickets
see?
To the Apollo to see Guns. You know I have a hatred for that band. Yeah. But I'm trying to win tickets for her to see them at the Apollo. Yeah. Mom, if you're listening, turn off.
Shh. Anyway, this is
you know
inspire.
She is. You know she is.
You've been listening to episode 26 if you're still with us.
77, not 77.
77, not 77. We'll be back at the end of July.
Hi, Cincinnati friends.
Disco year.
I'd like to thank our
if
guests.
If they do listen.
I want to thank
right,
our
Nicole.
Guests.
Yeah, thank the guests that you talk shit about. Cincinnati, go ahead.
Who talks shit about Cincinnati?
Nobody talks
shit.
I wasn't talking shit.
Because nothing good has come out of Cincinnati
musically.
I never talked
shit about Cincinnati. I gave my opinion on the chili.
You're from Cincinnati.
Yeah, you're from fucking New Jersey.
You're from Jersey. You're a Jersey girl.
You live in Cincinnati.
It never leaves
exactly. I know.
In the '70s, you were here.
I know. Yeah.
We realize we may have listeners in Cincinnati. You know, look, great, great city.
Prove us,
one day, I hope
it
you
is
get
a great
there.
City. And prove us wrong about the music
Hustlers
coming out
there.
Of Cincinnati. That's
the
all.
The big red machine when the Reds were a good team.
The romance.
And George Foster, or Johnny
George
Bench,
Foster, Johnny Bench,
Pete Rose,
Cesar Cedeno,
Pete Rose,
Dave Concepcion.
Concepcion, what a cool baseball name that guy was, man.
You would think like something came out.
I'd also like to thank our live audience for being with us tonight. Joe Morgan, yeah, man.
Yeah, so I wasn't talking shit about Cincinnati.
Off air, we will.
I'm fucking with you.
An opinion.
I'm fucking with you.
On Cincinnati chili. Fucking Soylent Brown.
It's got cinnamon in it. Shit.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bad news. Bad news keeps pouring on me. Bad news keeps pouring on me.